Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here to roll out the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, just head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on over there and take a look at it. And while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you'll see that link. Go ahead and click it. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. I was trying to think what was going on. And, you know, I know we talked about a ton of stuff yesterday, but, you know, one of the things we didn't get to, and I guess it depends how you look at it, and I don't know if maybe you came across this since it's local, but Allen Robinson, who is pretty much the Bears' best wide receiver and oddly the only one that Mitchell Trubisky seems to look at when he's throwing the football, has been kind of, you know, they're trying to get a contract extension done, and it came out yesterday that if they can't work out this extension, he wants to be traded. Now, I don't honestly see the Bears dealing him because, let's face it, he's the only really top-tier wide receiver they have. But I, you know, Dan, I always wonder about these things. Do you think this becomes a, you know, an issue, you know, because you got a guy, obviously, you know, and he's well paid. He was a free agent when the Bears signed him. You know, he's looking for top receiver money now, which, you know, I don't think he is. I mean, he's probably top 10 or maybe 15, but he wants more like top five money. Do you think this can grade on a team and cause, you know, like, problems in the, you know, the locker room or the field or wherever it practice or wherever it might be?
I think so. I mean, you're kind of crapping out. You're basically saying, you know, if you don't get what you want, you're gone. And but I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of guys, they all kind of understand that today. So I don't think it really is going to affect them as much as they, you know, you would think.
You know, I guess the other thing that baffles me about this is the timing. You know, you had all off season to talk about a contract extension, and you wait till after week one to come out and start making demands and, you know, talking about being traded. Why did he wait? You know, why didn't he direct his agents to get things started ahead of time? I mean, this just seems kind of ridiculous, I guess, to me that, you know, well, you know, oh, you know, we played a game now. Now I can start talking about, you know, you got to pay me more. What the hell were you doing before this? You know, obviously, you know, you weren't playing preseason games. So yeah, what, you know, what's the hold up there? What do you know?
I have no clue.
You know, and do you have Allen Robinson? I don't have Allen Robinson in any of my leagues. I try to, you know, even though he'll probably put up decent numbers for the Bears, I try to stay away from Bears offensive players, unless it, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, I pretty much stayed away from them too.
Yeah, it's just kind of frightening. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need to I don't need to be dealing with anybody whatsoever offensively with the Bears. But I will nominate them very early in the auction league and let people spend money on them. I have no issues with that. So, you know, and then, you know, the other thing I saw, and, you know, this is one of those things that always kind of comes up, but, you know, flat out the question now, Dan, is, you know, is Baker Mayfield a bust? You know, he was the number one overall draft pick. How many years ago was that? I kind of forgot. I'll have to look it up. I think it was three. You know, he played pretty well as a rookie, but that's been kind of the extent of it. So, I mean, are you looking that way? I mean, the guy's surrounded by all these weapons, and for whatever reason, he can't get it done. It was 2018, by the way, was the draft. So are you leaning towards him as a bust guy?
I mean, we could give him one more season, right? And then he's a bust.
I honestly, I don't know, you know, and that was a really quarterback heavy first round. You know, Mayfield went one, Sam Darnold went three, Josh Allen went seven, Josh Rosen went 10. So I'm sure the Cardinals were thrilled with that pick. But you know, oddly, Dan, the last pick in the first round was Lamar Jackson. So, you know, it just looks like there's a lot of quarterbacks who have, you know, outshined Mayfield, with the way he's played. And I guess, you know, you just kind of wonder, I mean, you know, I mean, they surrounded him with a ton of weapons. I mean, you know, he's got Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. You know, they spent a pretty high draft pick on David Njoku to play tight end. You know, this year they signed Austin Hooper, you know, to be the tight end. And it just, you know, they have two quality running backs in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And for whatever reason, it doesn't equate to a win. You know, and I know you mentioned it yesterday, you know, the quarterback gets too much credit when they win and too much blame when they lose, but, you know, that's kind of their job. I mean, is it really, you know, and I mean, I guess to be fair, this is his third head coach that he's played for. Now, you know, his rookie year, their offensive coordinator became the head coach the next year. So there was a lot of familiarity there. Yeah, I can almost say that. But this year, you know, he's learning a new system. He's got a new coach, so there may be some growing pains. But, yeah, it just seems kind of weird, Dan, that, you know, he was just the guy, and now you've got to kind of wonder how this is going to work out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grabbed Kareem Hunt just on a whim, but, you know, we'll see. I don't even know if I started in this league.
Yeah, because, you know, looking, you know, he's started 30 games. He's played in 31 for the Browns. He's 12-18 as a starter. You know, he does have, you know, 50 touchdown passes, but he's also thrown 36 interceptions. You know, like he had 22 touchdown passes last year, but 21 interceptions. You know, he's in his third year. He's got the number one draft pick deal where you get 4 years with a fifth year option. Yeah, I guess you gotta. Do you gotta kind of start to question it now? You know, I mean, I get that it's just week one and this could all turn around very quickly. But you go kind of off last year and it's like, ugh, what's going on here? You know, and obviously it didn't help that they got stomped, you know, in week one, you know, 38-6. So you're not exactly providing a ton of offense there. And I'm getting, oh no, it was a touchdown pass. Yeah, that's right. I think Juco caught a touchdown pass before he got hurt. So I don't know. You know, what do you think? How does this work out? Is he going to level out and become a decent starting quarterback, or you got Cleveland looking for, you know, another guy after how many?
It's Cleveland. They're going to end up looking for another guy. They'll rehash some other quarterback. I don't know. I feel, you know, the hard thing with that is you're probably asking the worst person in the world. These are Mr. Fantasy questions. You know, football, first of all, but then you're talking about the Browns and, you know me.
It's
another team where the ownership has no business owning a team. They need to get out. They need to sell the team and move to Florida and do whatever they do. You know, I mean, there has to have been a reason why they took that franchise out of Cleveland and put it in Baltimore, only to bring it back again, which, to me, again, makes no sense. I just don't understand what the point of that was. You know, similar to basketball and hockey, you know, Minnesota had two teams for hockey and basketball. Both were taken out. I mean, now we've got the most confusing team in L.A., the L.A. Lakers. There's so many lakes in L.A. And then, you know, I forgot where the North Star, the North Stars went down to Dallas, but then you end up bringing two teams back. You know, I think they're a little bit, well, not as dysfunctional as Cleveland, but, you know, it's one of those, like, why did you take the team out and why did you bring it back? And since you brought the team back in Cleveland, what have they done? You know, is it just more to appease the fans? Because, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of fans there, and they will pay to go see them. But just not sure, you know, what the problem is with them. Don't forget, you know, this is the team that was the first one to start the analytics BS, and look where that's gotten them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if I remember correctly, the Browns went to Baltimore because I believe he wanted a new stadium and couldn't get it. So, you know, when their lease was up, instead of renegotiating, they just took off. So, you know, oddly, like the Colts did to Baltimore, except they went to Baltimore. But, yeah, you know, yeah, football-wise, Cleveland can actually drop. If it was the baseball team, it's a different story. But, you know, they go watch football there. So that was part of the reason they, you know, ended up going back there as, you know, an expansion franchise. But I believe, I don't remember, but I think they did. I think they did the goofy thing where Cleveland kept all the records because it was associated with the Browns' name. And the
sense.
Ravens had to kind of start from scratch.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. You know, I mean, even like when you think about, you know, and you've got a wonder, no, number one, Rob Manfred, I don't think is really into, just really interested in expanding Major League Baseball. But let's say the Expos are brought back into the game. And ideally, you know, for the Expos and what I've read, is they want to be in the AL East, which makes sense because then you'd have a great rivalry going with Toronto, and then you'll be up against Boston and the Yankees, and then, you know, Tampa or somebody, you know, Tampa would probably, well, you can't really – there's no South League, so what would you do with Tampa, you know, put them in the Central? So I think, you know, that's one of the issues with it. But, no, I think because baseball is confused, that's why, you know, Tampa. So I would be okay with, you know, adding another team, you know, because that's what matters. Major League Baseball, I have to be okay with it. Adding another team to the East and then picking another division in the NL to add another team to kind of balance it out, or would you add two to the American League, or would you have to go full on and go four over a series of like 6 years? I think that would probably be the best situation. But when you think about it, if Expos comes in, as I ramble on, the Nationals have all their history. So do you give that back? You know, how does that work out? Because, I mean, it only makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to, you know, really figure out. I mean, you know, they put up the numbers in that uniform, but it's not the franchise that was there when they put up those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of depends how you look at it. I mean, I guess for the majority of people, the name is what's associated. So, you know, I mean, you know, you think Cleveland Browns, you think, you know, Jim Brown, you don't think, well, the team went to Baltimore. You know, why is Jim Brown the all-time leading rusher in Ravens history when he never played in Baltimore? So, I guess it's really six of one, half dozen of another. In reality, it doesn't matter that much. It's just kind of odd to me when they, you know, they do those kind of things because, you know, hey, you're the Browns, but you're not the Browns. You know, could they be the Browns 2.0? Maybe that would have helped, or at least made me feel better. So, you know. But, and did you get your reminder? Don't forget to set your fantasy football league, you know, because there is a game tomorrow. And humorously, it's the Bengals at the Browns. So you'll get to watch Baker on TV tomorrow night. Or maybe you won't if you're like me, because I think it's on the NFL Network, so I don't think I'll be watching it thanks to AT&T UVerse. So. We'll have to see. But all right, you oddly, Dan, mentioned Rob Manfred in your point about football, even though he's the baseball commissioner, but I won't hold that against you. I don't know if you caught this, but he stated that he hopes to make this expanded playoff format permanent. Dan, that means over half the teams in Major League Baseball would make the playoffs every year. I couldn't hate this more, Dan.
I mean, does he have the authority, whatever it is, to do something like that?
You know, I don't think he has the authority to kind of lay it down, but remember – what comes up after next year?
The CBA.
Right. So, you know, and I mean, I get it with this goofy 60-game schedule. You wanted to try to make sure the good teams or the marquee name teams had a chance to get into the playoffs. So, you know, it could help your TV rating and, you know, all that kind of stuff you need. But, you know, Dan, if it's a 162-game schedule, basically all this would do would mean winning your division means absolutely nothing because the team behind you in the standings gets in too.
Yeah.
So, who cares if you win in the division? You just got to finish in the top two. You know, and then if you're that third-place team and you're rolling along, well, you're the wild card team. You get in as well. Great. So 3/5 of a division get in the playoffs. That's exciting. And 16 out of 30 get in. Why are we having a regular season? Why are we playing 162 games? Let's just play 60 every year and go this route.
That's why you have to expand.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like really, it's like, you know, out of all the rules that you've put in, this is the one that you think should stick around. It's bad enough that whoever wins the damn World Series this year isn't really going to be a World Series winner. You know, I mean, they'll win the games, but they're really going to be a champion. But, I just, I can't deal with frickin' 16 teams in the playoffs every year. And I get that it's a money grab because you've got more playoff games out there now. And, you know, you can use the tagline that, well, you know, it would get more fans interested. Does it really? You know, I mean, how excited is a third-place wildcard team going to be when they get the draw and go up against the number one seed in the opening round and all the games are on, you know, they got to play all their games on the road in, a, you know, best of three. You know, how, you know, with the exception of diehard fans, you know, nobody's going to pay attention to that. I mean, you and I would be dumb enough to watch, but that's you and I, and we do stupid stuff like that when it comes to baseball. But, you know, I mean, the actual fans of the team, and, you know, hell, you know, even if it's Tampa Bay Rays and they can have fans in, nobody's going to go anyways.
No.
So, yeah, it just, you know, and then, I mean, think about this, Dan. We play a 162-game season. How long are these damn playoffs going to go?
Well, and that was my thoughts exactly. Is you cannot do this expanded playoffs without getting rid of the 162 games. You know, it makes no sense. You have to go back.
Yeah,
to,
you know, like
the old way.
What, 154?
Yeah.
You know, and I get that this year, you know, it's easy. They're going with no off days until the World Series. Well, that's really simple to do when all the teams are in the same area. But, you know, I mean, if you get, you know, the New York Mets against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the, you know, the NLDS or CS, you can't do that. You know, there's got to be off days for travel. You know, so now you're stretching out the season. So we play till Thanksgiving? Baseball season now goes till Thanksgiving?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well,
can you and how many games are you going to on legally in November 20 whatever?
None. I can't afford
yeah.
to go yet.
So, you know, okay. Well, you and Schomburg, Stu, how many games are you guys going to? So.
25.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I, you know, and I, you know, and I've conceded. I get that there's going to be a DH. My guess is they'll figure out a way to keep it for next year, even though, you know, the CBA isn't up for another year. But good Lord, don't give me seven inning doubleheaders, and please don't put frickin' runners on second base in extra innings. This is almost right up there with that runner on second base, Dan. I mean, they would be 1-1A for me. I, you know, it's just going to, you know, it waters down the playoffs and it, you know, then it's the NBA. And I mean, when was the last time you saw an 8 seed beat a 1 seed in the NBA?
Can't think of it, but you know, that is the difference between, I think the NBA and Major League Baseball is you would have an 8 seed being a number one.
You think in a best of three?
Oh, best of three, yeah. I guess you're right. I mean, who's to say though? Because well, you know, the Giants and the Royals. I guess they're, you know, they're still kind of in that playoff bracket, you know, being the wild card team coming out. So, because that was the old format where, you know, the first place team took on the wild card team, and I think they both swept them.
Yeah, but if you think about that in your format before you keep going, you're talking about a number 4 seed beating a number 1 seed.
Yeah.
That's easier for me to believe, isn't it, for you?
Yeah.
So, you know, but when you, you know, you get into now we're talking number eight, you know, there's a chance that team could be under 500. So, you know, because that's, you know, that's like, how would it look now? Let's see. Right now, the Dodgers would open against the Giants, who are hanging on to the last seed. You know, and they're 23 and 24. Do you really, you know, and you know, throw out the fact that this is a rivalry because, you know, I'm just using them because they happen to be the one and the eight. But can you see a generic number one seed against a generic number eight seed in this situation where the number one seed is almost 20 games over 500 and the number eight seed is under 500? You know, that kind of got two game sweep written all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, I just don't get the enjoyment. And by the way, the Giants wouldn't be the only under 500 team to make the playoffs. The Cardinals are also currently under 500, but they would be the sixth seed because they're in second place in the Central. Oddly, Dan, no under 500 teams in the American League would get into the playoffs. So the Astros are close. They're 500 exactly, so they could blow it. But other than that, there's no other team under 500 right now that would qualify for the American League playoffs. So, but yeah, I don't think I would enjoy the first round of the playoffs if they went to this format.
No, not at all.
So, but all right, I'm done crying about this. You know, Dan, I'm sure you kind of caught this in passing. I don't know if you watched the highlights, but we talked a little bit about what the returning Yankees would mean for their team. You know, they got Giancarlo Stanton back last night along with Gio Urshela. I did see that Aaron Judge has been activated. He'll come back tonight. Dan, I don't know how much these guys had to do with it, but did you see the Yankees put up 20 last night?
No.
Yeah, they hit the Blue Jays with a big 20, and they won 20-6. So they definitely lit it up. Do you think maybe just seeing the guys helped out and got them, you know, a little motivated, and now, you know, will the return, you know, with Judge returning and he's the best out of the three. You know, I gotta kind of ask you again, are they getting these guys back at the right time to make a run?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, the hardest thing, though, is you definitely want to get excited. You're a Yankee fan, you want to get excited. But there's always that lingering Giancarlo something or something. You know what I mean? So that's where you worry. You know, is he coming back? Is he going to play? Is he going to finish the season? Or are we going to go into a playoffs without Giancarlo?
Yeah, let me see. He actually went 0-for-4 last night with two strikeouts. He did walk. Urshela, on the other hand, was 3-for-4, scored 3 runs, and walked. So Urshela at least had an impact. Stanton, a little rusty. But, you know, he has been out over half the season. So we'll have to see how that continues. You would like to hope that he can stay healthy, and you know, I think their best bet is just to continue to DH him and not let him see the field, because you know that's a big risk of him getting hurt. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what they decide to do. But I mean, would you put him in the field?
No, I'd keep him off the field.
So, and let's see what we got today. Yeah, Judge is back in the Yankee lineup. He's starting hitting second in right field. Urshela is hitting fifth again at third base. But oddly, Dan, and this makes no sense to me because he needs the at-bat, Stanton is out of the lineup today.
Wow.
So he got four at-bats, and now he gets a day off. Gary Sanchez is DH, and then Higasaki is going to do the catching tonight. So, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me when you get the guy just rolling back and he needs those at-bats. But I guess it is what it is. You know, and yeah, they're facing Tanner Roark as the Blue Jays starter, so it's not like, you know, he's lights out. It's not like they're facing, you know, Jacob DeGrom or, you know, Shane Bieber or even Lucas Giolito. So there's really no reason he shouldn't be in the lineup. But, you know, again, that's Aaron Boone's decision, right? So. Not much we can do about it. I just don't understand it. And it does look like we have three games rolling along right now. The A's and the Rockies are all done. It's the bottom of the ninth with the A's leading 3-1. The Dodgers and the Padres were actually on the Mickey Mouse Network. I watched a little of that before we started the podcast. The Dodgers are up 3-1 in the top of the fifth. And then the Brewers and the Cardinals are rolling along. They're playing a doubleheader. The Brewers are up 2-1 in the bottom of the third of game one. So you're pretty much all caught up on what's live. Oh, and we did have a final already. I didn't realize there was already a game done, Dan. The Nationals beat the Rays 4-2 earlier. So, and I realized I meant to tell you yesterday that the Astros brought Jose Altuve off the IL just in time for your run through the fantasy baseball playoffs, but then I remembered you were like me and didn't make the fantasy baseball playoffs. So that was sad.
You had to bring it up.
Yeah, I know. I can't, you know, I can't help myself. It just makes me want to kick myself in the teeth because I was so bad this year, but At least I have you to help me with my misery, so then it makes me feel a little better. But you know, while we're on the Yankees here, Dan, gotta ask you, and in all honesty, I don't think I'm buying it. And I really think that this is only happening because he's a Yankee. But now all of a sudden there's this big gigantic push for Luke Voit to be the American League MVP. Now, he does lead the league in homers with 18, and he is hitting .280. Is he really the MVP, Dan, or is it, like I said, it's just because he's on the Yankees, and if he was playing someplace else, he wouldn't even be in the top five?
Yeah, it's because he's on the Yankees.
So, yeah, because, you know, I mean, I'm looking at some of the other guys. You know, Jose Abreu's playing for a first-place team. He's got 15 bombs. He's got more RBIs than Voit. He actually leads the American League in RBIs right now. And he's hitting almost 50 points higher. But, you know, I get to listen to how Luke Voit is the MVP. You know, and it's just kind of like, oh, that's exciting. Why? That and the fact that he's also a butcher on defense. I know nobody gives a crap about that except, you know, me. But, yeah, you know, and I mean, even some of the other candidates, I mean, I know Nelson Cruz will be hurt because he's a designated hitter, but he's only two homers behind Voit, and he's hitting 40 points higher than him. You know, and the Twins are actually in second place. The Yankees are in third. They may have went by the Blue Jays because they did beat them yesterday. But, yeah, you know, I keep hearing this, and I think every baseball show I saw today talked about him as MVP. Dan, how do you get Tim Anderson some love? You know, the guy 77. You know, and I know the first thing they're going to say is, oh, well, batting average doesn't mean anything. You know, Dan, I think every team in the league would take a guy hitting 377, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I would.
He's got 8 home runs. He doesn't have a lot of RBIs because he's in the leadoff spot. But, he added 5 steals, 11 doubles. He's been really good defensively. And what's funny, Dan, is every time I think about it, I still remember you hearing that he was supposed to be moved to center field so the White Sox could play some prospect who ended up not working out and they released. Anderson's got a shot at winning his second batting title in a row. Nobody seems to care.
No, and it's funny because I so bad every time, I think about it after the fact, of course. But, I just so bad want to call into Bruce Levine's show and be like, hey, remember when you said that the White Sox were going to be in the World Series in 2019 and right, maybe even 2020, and the starting shortstop was going to be Soto? I forgot his first name. I think it was like Juan Soto or something.
It was Jose Rondon, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Rondon? I can't remember totally. You had this team pegged from a kid who didn't do anything yet. And that's one thing that always gets to me. Obviously, Mike Trout has lived up to the hype. But for that kid, it was like he never even seen the light of day, and they already had him pegged as future Hall of Famer and starting shortstop for the World Series White Sox. So it's pretty interesting. And, that's another thing, like you said, how can we get Tim Anderson some love? I mean, I've been to a handful of White Sox games over the last couple of seasons, and, I thought he was a great player. Maybe not the greatest, but he plays well in the infield, and he's definitely learning his bat, get that bat around. But, there's even White Sox fans who don't like him, and I just don't even get it.
Yeah, I'm so lost. And I know, in reality, what may hurt the White Sox is, Abreu is going to be considered an MVP candidate, and Anderson is going to get some votes. So they may actually kind of cancel each other out, and somebody who probably doesn't deserve the award will win it, be it Luke Voit because he's on the East Coast, and, he's a Yankee, and they're going to give him, all these votes. Because there's no, the Red Sox stink and nobody's going to, vote for any of their players, even though Devers and Bogarts are having pretty good years. And Trout is going to get his share of votes, of course, but, the Angels stink and he's actually hitting under 300 this year. I don't know. And, I know we still got, 10 days, 2 weeks left, so things could change, but it's just kind of weird to me that a guy who is hitting 377 just seems to be written off because analytics say batting average doesn't matter. And I still don't understand how getting on base doesn't matter. Isn't that the point of the game?
Yeah, if you want me to pull the rule book up, literally the whole point of the game is to get a guy on base and to score runs. That's the one thing that analytics takes out of this game, and what people don't understand is that the sport of baseball, much like what is supposed to be the NBA, the NHL, and the NFL, not NASCAR, well, technically, yeah, I guess NASCAR too, it's this thing, it's a team sport. It's not wrestling, whether it's pro wrestling or amateur wrestling. And it's not MMA, and it's not boxing. Wrestling, boxing, MMA, you can put those lists, clump them all together. Those are individual sports. Put tennis in there, too. Of course, you have couples tennis or team tennis, whatever you want to call it. It doubles, there we
don't
go.
Forget
not
golf.
Couples.
You said golf. Don't forget golf.
Yeah, and golf. Those are individual sports. they rely on one person. The NBA has proven with LeBron James last year that one guy cannot win a championship. Same thing with Major League Baseball. Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, since 2012, have been toted, slammed on our throats. You know, everything's them, yet neither one of those two guys have a World Series ring. You know, former shortstops from the Cubs, who no one knows anything about, who won, you know, came off a World Series, college World Series championship team. They didn't do it with the Cubs. They both have rings. They weren't Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, yet they have World Series rings. Played for World Series teams, and were, I believe they were both on the World Series roster. And I think for a moment, not Mike Fastenau, the other kid, Ryan Terrio, I think he actually has a ring with the Giants and the Cardinals. I could be wrong, you know, as starting shortstop. So what the hell does that have to do with anything, Stan and Man? The fact that those guys aren't superstars, they're not 400, you know, four-year-plus home run guys, they're not batting 350. They played as a part of a team. And that's where that's the biggest issue I have with the analytics data, is that this data is great for matchups. You know, you've got your matchups, you know, for the day. The manager wants, you know, who hits better against this pitcher coming up. It does work well, but should you put all of your money on that? No. Because, I mean, we've seen the Cubs do it for the last 2 years. Yeah, I don't really know. Well, I just found out today that I can get access to Marquee Network. But, you know, Kyle Schwarber isn't allowed to bat against left-handed hitters, pitchers, because he's not as that great at it. Well, you know, I don't know, Big Jack. Do you ever get better at doing something by not doing it? No. You know, that's the problem with analytics. The other side of the whole sabermetrics crap is it's post-baseball. The analytics crap is for post-baseball, for guys that want to try to compare Babe Ruth and Mike Trout, which at the end of the day, you cannot compare the two. You can kind of put their numbers together. You can sit here and tell me to your blue in the face how great Mike Trout's WAR is compared to Babe Ruth's or whatever it is. But I guess I'm going to look at you and let you ramble on and tell you, yeah, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean shit. Because, you know, could Babe Ruth play in this game today at his stature? I don't think so. You know, but is that
well,
to say that
could,
Mike Trout would be? He could what?
He could be a pitcher. He is left-handed.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Just the way the game was then, could those guys really play today? And the guys today, could they play that same way back then? You know, it's just trying to compare all this and putting all these numbers on spreadsheets doesn't account for the magical thing that we like to use, and that's called the human factor. You know, if we had 25 guys in a dugout and we took those guys out of the dugout and replaced them all with robots, then analytics would be the perfect solution. You know, but then I don't think you'd ever have a winner or a loser. You'd always be able to figure it out. You know, but that's the thing. You keep relying on all these analytics, and it look at, you know, I know baseball is different than football, but like I said, Cleveland hasn't done anything since they tried releasing analytics.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, one of the things you mentioned was that the game is about scoring runs. Tim Anderson mm-hmm. happens to lead the American League in runs scored with 41. So, you know, which is one of the big reasons why Abreu leads it in RBIs, because Anderson gets on base for him to drive him home. So. But all right, well, I want to switch to the American League or the National League here, Dan, because I'm sure you remember after, a week, they had awarded Fernando Tatis Jr. with the MVP award, and I think he even got some Hall of Fame votes. So, you know, they were it was done and it was over. Well, oddly, Dan, he, you know, while the team has still played well, he's kind of cooled off. You know, he is tied for the National League lead in homers with 15. You know, I think he's second in RBIs with 40. He does lead them in runs scored with 46, and he's hitting .284. But I guess my question becomes, Dan, is he better than Mookie Betts, who also has 15 bombs? He's only 5 RBIs behind him. He's 9 runs scored behind him, but Betts is hitting about 30 points higher on another good team. Who's your MVP?
Let's look on with Mookie.
You know, and I know, you know, Marcelo Zuna, nobody's talking about him. He's having a fantastic year as well. He's hitting .321 for the Braves with 14 homers. He's got more RBIs than any of them at 44. I believe he's the National League leader. So, you know, he's putting up some gigantic numbers. But, you know, oddly, and this is another strange thing, when I heard them talking about MVPs, apparently Freddie Freeman is the Braves' MVP. Because he's got 11 homers. He does have 46 RBIs, so Freddie's leading the American League. He's 2 ahead of his teammate, and he's hitting .352. He's leading the National League in hitting right now. So, you know, there is some competition. You know, how is this going to kind of shake out? Is it just, you know, can Mookie win it? Is he the guy, or – you know, can Freeman get in, or is everybody still in love with Tatis? You know, I mean, they seem to be the top 3 guys. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else who's doing great for a winning team, which I don't really think there is. So, is it still Mookie for you, or does Freddie edge him out? I mean, the Braves are a first-place team.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah.
No, it depends who you're talking about. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're both all 3 great candidates. But I think people are still going to – hurt people. I still think the media is going to run with Tatis.
Yeah, and, you know, because, I mean, if Betts wins it, that would be record-setting. You know, he would be one of – he may be the second guy to win an MVP in both leagues. I know Frank Robinson did it, you know, back in what the six, maybe the late 50s, early 60s. I'm trying to remember when his career started. Other than that, I don't know if anybody else has done it. I mean, I know players switch teams and leagues all the time, but off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody else. Can you?
No, I was going to say, did Albert win one in the AL? But I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I am going to jump on your favorite search engine here and see if I enter it, who comes up with what here for both leagues and see how that goes. But yeah, you know, like I said, just thinking off the top of my head, and, you know, I have some random baseball knowledge. I believe there's just one. All right, here we go. Let's see what we got. So, yeah, no, I'm cruising here. It does not look like it. So far, of course, I'm only to the 1950s, and there's a lot of baseball going on. So, yeah, Robinson won his first one in 1961 with the Reds, and then he won in 66 with the Orioles. But, yeah, I don't I don't see anybody else here as I'm cruising along, Dan. So yeah, Mookie would be the second guy, because you know your guy Ricky only won one with the A's. He didn't win one of his National League teams. So, but yeah, so that would be a huge feat. And yeah, and you know Pujols did win three, but they were all with the Cardinals. So. Yeah, so yeah, you could, that would be huge, you know, being the second guy to be able to do that. So. Oh, wow, I forgot Josh Hamilton actually won an MVP once. Good Lord. So.
Yeah. I was going to say Reggie, but I feel like Reggie was only in the AL.
Yeah, Reggie actually never played for a National League team. You know, he had the A's, the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Angels. So he never found his way into the National League. So yeah, it's just it's just Frank Robinson. So you know, yeah, Mookie could set kind of a precedent there, and he's definitely having the year to do it. We'll just have to see what the what the Baseball Writers of America vote for when they decide to finally cast their ballots and figure it out. But, you know, I'm sure either way somebody's going to complain, right? Probably me, but somebody's going to complain.
Well, and, you know, I think I spoke way too soon when I brought up Albert Pujols because I forgot about the Mike Trout factor. And, God, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the outcry if both men were in the running? Albert's taking it away.
Yeah, there would be quite a bit of whining and crying about that. If obviously the advantage is Pujols doesn't stack up analytically really well. Which is incredibly stupid. I'm sure you remember last year they actually named him the worst player in Major League Baseball. He now has 660 career home runs. So, yeah, that's how bad of a player he is. So, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and, you know, he's got more awards than you can shake a stick at. But, yeah, they decided he was the worst player in Major League Baseball last year, analytically wise. But he did drive in 93 runs, Dan. So he must really stink because it's always nice to have a run producer in the middle of your order, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's just the thing that, you know, that just kills me with this is it's like where do the analytics kind of work where, you know, getting the runs in, you know, doesn't count. Remember, you know, we had the wonderful conversation about Brian Kelly saying RBI's lucky. You know, you're lucky to get an RBI. Why? Because the guy in front of you did his job and got on base? And then you had to get a hit to get him home, so you were lucky? You know, again, I mean, that's kind of the genesis of the game. You know, get a guy on, get him over, get him in. They've been saying that for years until analytics came along. Now it's hit a home run and don't worry about getting on base. Who cares if you strike out? Somewhere along the lines just seems fundamentally wrong to me. But I'm to the point now where I just think I'm the moron. So I just don't know. You know, I mean, it's me, right? That's the problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, I still don't. That one still baffles me. I mean, RBIs are lucky. Yeah, okay. You were lucky. Well, then, if you say that, though, then everything is luck, isn't it?
Right.
If you're lucky to get an RBI, that means you were lucky to hit the ball. That means the guy who got on base in front of you was lucky to get on base. That means if you have three guys on base and you hit a grand slam, you got lucky. You hit a home run, you got lucky. Saying that RBIs is just a matter of luck. Maybe you don't understand how the game works, because if you want to say that that is luck, then that means the entire game is luck. If a pitcher strikes the guy out, that's luck. If right fielder catches the ball, you know, if a right fielder is playing with, Cardinal center fielder Dexter Fowler and makes a diving catch in the gap between the two, that was luck. You know, it had nothing to do with the fact that he knows that Fowler can't really cover the whole ground. That was luck. We can sit here and cover every play. That was luck. You know, they were lucky the umpire didn't see it, and it was inconclusive, so they didn't overturn it. You know what I mean? Every single portion, you cannot say that one part of it is luck. If one part is, then it all is, because it's all the same concept.
Actually, and I'm willing to bet you don't even know you did this. You hit the nail right on the head when you used the phrase people who don't know the game, because who created analytics and sabermetrics? You know, it wasn't baseball fans. It wasn't front office people. It was, what you would describe as a computer nerd. It was a computer person who sat down and came up with all the numbers. You know, and maybe they did it because they did like baseball. You know, and they were, you know, and they thought, well, this is going to revolutionize the game. But has it? Dan, I don't think it has.
I don't think it has. I mean, I think it's added to the game. I don't think it's revolutionized the game, however.
You know, I mean, it has its pluses and minuses. Like, if you remember Andrew McCutchen's last year in Pittsburgh, analytically, he was the worst defensive outfielder in Major League Baseball. Well, a lot of that had to do with the way the team was positioning him. It's got nothing to do with the way Andrew McCutchen plays. I believe Andrew mm-hmm. McCutchen is a Gold Glove winner. But analytically, the worst defensive outfielder in Major League Baseball. Who's going to believe that, Dan?
Nobody.
Right. I mean, that has to point to a flawed system right there when you see it, you know, because we're talking about a guy who at that point was a former MVP. And like I said, I believe either a Gold Glove winner or a Gold Glove finalist. And you're telling me that magically now this guy can't play defense after years of playing top quality? So who's at fault there? You know, it's obviously the analytic that's wrong. But, yeah, I don't get it. I guess the argument we're going to continue to have forever. So, because, you know, they're obviously not going away, and this is just going to be a constant fight. But, all right, speaking of going away, Dan, let's go away.
Time Radio.